Jonah chapter number 4, Jonah 4, we have we've been studying this book of Jonah. And as we've been studying Jonah, we're not necessarily looking at Jonah or looking at Nineveh. We're looking at God and who God is and what God's doing. The wonderful thing of that is, as we see God, we've studied that he's long-suffering, and we've studied just different attributes that we see about him in each chapter. The wonderful thing about that is this: we know the Bible tells us that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so who God is in the book of Jonah is who God is today. If he's long-suffering and caring and kind and merciful, then he's long-suffering, caring, and kind and merciful now. And as we study through, we see God and what he's doing and what he's after. Let's begin reading, and I'm going to have you mark a few things as we're reading this chapter, chapter 4, that we're going to study tonight. And we'll go back and, again, we'll just study through this. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very unhappy. Now, I want you to stop as we're reading this and just think to yourself, in this very first verse, there's a couple words that I want us to just make sure that we see. Jonah wasn't just displeased. The Bible says he was displeased exceedingly. What's that word exceedingly mean? Extreme, above and beyond. So it's not just that he was just having a bad day. He was exceedingly, exceedingly displeased, above and beyond. Also, the Bible tells us what this leads to. He was very angry. Again, not just angry, he's very angry. This is just abnormal behavior. This is out of character. He's escalated this in his emotions to the place where he's exceedingly displeased and he's very angry. What in the world could Jonah be so angry and displeased about that it's described in this way? That he gets to Nineveh and the people don't respond to his message? No, because we know that when he gets to Nineveh, the people responded to his message. That when he gets to Nineveh, that the people respond to the message, but God doesn't keep up to his end of the bargain. And so now Jonah is a liar? No, we know that what Jonah preached, repentance, and God would not destroy the city, that God honored that. So what is Jonah so displeased with? Well, we find what his response is in verse number 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? And I want you to just, again, either take notes or mark that word, my saying. This is beginning to reveal what he's so angry about. What he's angry about is it has to do with Jonah. It's all about Jonah. So the Lord is doing something, and Jonah's upset. And I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? When I was yet in my country, when I was at where I was, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew. This is what he is so exceedingly displeased and angry about. I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You see, when you get to the place where your emotions are so high, when you get to the place where you are described as it's exceeding displeased or very angry, you're not thinking right. Jonah's at the place where he's upset because God did what he said he was going to do. And it made Jonah, what he's so displeased with is this: I had to leave my country and come here when you are going to do this anyways. You know what he's saying? you were going to do this anyway, so why did you need me? It was the inconvenience that Jonah had to be put through is what's displeasing him so much. Now, don't miss this, please. It's Jonah, God dealing, using Jonah, what Jonah thinks is moving him from his country, displacing him, bothering him to go to a place and do something that he knew that God was going to do. So why did you inconvenience me to go to Nineveh when you were going to save Nineveh anyways? I knew you were going to do this. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? And we can understand this. How are you doing with this attitude you have right now? Are you better off for it? So being angry, Jonah, how's that working for you? Is it fixing the problem? Is it making anything better? Is anything going to change because you're throwing a temper tantrum here? Now mark that. That's the first time that he asked that question. God is after something out of Jonah. And so he asked Jonah this time, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared. Now I want you to mark this. We're going to see these two words three times in the next three verses, God prepared. Okay, and I want you to mark it each time you see that. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it come up after Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from the grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Hey, you made life easy for me. I'm happy now. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd, that it was withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared, third time we see that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, again, this is what Jonah says after all of this, it is better for me to die than to live. Don't miss any of this, please. And God said to Jonah, look what he says. Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? You know, he's saying, now, how's this anger thing working for you? Okay, you're angry about the gourd now. Is it changing any? For that which thou has not labored, neither made it to grow, which come in a night and perish in a night, and should not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 120,000 persons, people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Chapter 4 reveals a great bit about God. It summarizes really all three other previous chapters that we see in the book of Jonah. Everything that we see about God, we see this climax that we are going to now experience about God and what he's truly doing and what he truly desires when we come to chapter number 4. Because it's going to show us clearly who God is and what God's thoughts are toward us as human beings. I want us to see this evening, what God's thoughts are toward us as humans. First, I want you to look with me, and I want to take a look at Jonah so that we can see what God is doing and who God is. And I want you to see, first of all, Jonah's rebellion. It's important for us as we study this final chapter that we see Jonah's rebellion. The Bible says this, and I pointed this out, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. This rebellious spirit that Jonah has, it causes interruptions in his life. It causes interruptions in his thought. It causes his behavior. to be seen as exceedingly displeased or very angry. Throughout this entire chapter, we get to a place where it says that Jonah's very angry. And God then, a few verses into this chapter, says this: how's that anger working for you? We see God working. We come to the place toward the end, and God is saying the same thing. How's this anger working for you? Now you're angry. You're angry about everything. And the reason why his spirit is this way, and the reason why Jonah, his anger is continuous showing, is because Jonah is very rebellious toward God. Jonah was rebellious against God and God's authority in his life. Now, don't miss this. Whenever you become rebellious against God and his authority in your life, it's going to be revealed in extremes like we see in Jonah's life, whether it be displeasure or anger. Now, you say, where do we see this rebellion of Jonah? Jonah is asked of God to go to a city to preach repentance to this city. And we find, beginning in chapter number 1, that Jonah rebels against what God asked him to do. We find in chapter number 4 that Jonah is upset because he knows what God's intent is and what God's going to do, and it angers Jonah to the place of rebellion. And the reason is because he doesn't like the fact that God has authority in his life. Jonah's rebellion toward God's authority, it leads Jonah to be selfish in all of the requests and everything that he thinks about. A person with consistently rebellion toward God's authority, it also is seen in selfishness, where life is always about them. What we see in the book of Jonah, beginning in chapter number 1 and throughout the story, unfortunately ending in chapter number 4, is Jonah feels life is about him. God needs to consider Jonah and Jonah's feelings before God decides what he's going to do. And no matter what is happening anywhere around him, Jonah is selfish. His rebellion is seen in his anger, and his rebellion is seen in a selfish response to what God is doing in his life. Now, it isn't just in chapter 4 we see it. I want you to see in chapter number 1, let's go back there just for a moment. I want you to see in chapter number 1, we see the beginning of Jonah's rebellion in this chapter, in verse number 3. But Jonah, let me just start in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah: arise, go to Nineveh, cry against it. But Jonah rose and what? Rose up to flee into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. God said to Jonah, I want you to go. And what's the reason? If I could ask you this question, not a trick question, according to chapter number 1, in the first couple of verses we read here, what is the purpose of the book of Jonah and God's calling Jonah to do? What's the reason, the purpose that God is calling Jonah? Again, not a trick question. Somebody tell me. To go preach repentance in Nineveh. Exactly right. If we just simply look at those first couple of verses, as we begin the study of the book of Jonah, we can say this: the book of Jonah is about God desiring Nineveh to repent. So he is sending a prophet to go preach so that Nineveh repents. And then when Nineveh repents, the story of Jonah, the book of Jonah, happy ending. Could it be that God, in his ability to deal with two situations at the same exact time, is doing with both Nineveh, is dealing, I'm sorry, with both Nineveh and Jonah because of their sin? I want you to write this down. Something I see about God in the book of Jonah is this: God is a pluralistic God in using and is using the same situation to deal with multiple people. God can use a situation, a singular situation, to deal with multiple different people. And I'm going to explain this all. Again, stay with me on this. The problem is Jonah is missing his part in this story. God is dealing with Nineveh. Nineveh, this great city of 120,000 people, are living in sin, and if they don't repent, destruction is going to come. So God calls a prophet, and God says to the prophet, I want you to go and I want you to preach to Nineveh that if they don't repent, great destruction is going to come. But at the same time that God is wanting to deal with Nineveh, God is going to be dealing with a rebellious, sinful, selfish prophet. And what is God looking for in Jonah? My question would be this. Why didn't God just call a prophet that said, yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, if you desire for me to go, I will go to Nineveh and I will preach the repentance to Nineveh and I'll rejoice when they repent. Because I believe this, God, in dealing with a singular issue, is dealing with two different people. The situations in our life that God deals with, if we're not careful, we only see one side of what God is doing in a story. Much of the time, it's the side that we see is what God is supposed to be doing in someone else's life, but God puts many of us in situations so that he can deal with us. You see, the story of Jonah is about Nineveh hearing the message of repentance and repenting and being spared this sure destruction that's going to come. But the other story that we find in Nineveh is that God is dealing with a rebellious prophet. And he's desiring for Jonah to repent and come clean so that he could also be used of God. His anger, his rebellion, his pride that God is dealing with in his own life is clouding the fact that God is trying to work in the life of Jonah. God can use situations and allow you to be involved in situations. But if we're not careful, like Jonah, the anger, the rebellion, the pride that God wants to clear, wants us to repent of, wants us to see, if we're not careful, all we see is someone else's sin and what somebody else is doing. And God has Jonah in Nineveh so that Jonah doesn't see Nineveh's sin, but that so Jonah sees Jonah's sin. It's important. It's vitally important that we see this tonight. God is using, don't miss this statement, please. God is using Nineveh to get a hold of Jonah and work in Jonah's life. Just as much as he is using Jonah to get a hold of Nineveh to work in their life. Jonah going to Nineveh is profitable to Jonah so that Jonah sees his rebellion and repents of his rebellion. Just as much as it's important for Nineveh to have Jonah come so that their sin is revealed and they can, what? Get right with God. I want you to see this about God. Number two, would you write this down? God deals with individuals. God deals with individuals and is interested in the details of their life. Now, I'm going to look at this and spend a few moments on this before my time is out. I want us to look with me in chapter number 4. And God says something so interesting here. He says this in verse number 10. I'm going to start in verse 10, go to verse 11, and then we're going to jump back up. God says this, "Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." What he's saying is this. He's saying, you have so much pity, you have so much care, you have so much concern for this gourd that has no meaning. It you didn't do anything for it. You didn't labor for it. You didn't plant seed so you didn't nurture it. You didn't water it. You did absolutely nothing for this gourd. You know the only reason why Jonah was upset that this gourd died? Because this gourd couldn't benefit him any longer. But he's showing us something here. God's mind and his compassion, we're seeing here as he begins to bring this to Jonah's attention, when he uses these words, "You're so concerned about a gourd that you didn't labor in, you didn't grow, that it was simply you had it for a day." Yet there's Nineveh, there's people, there's souls in Nineveh that you care nothing about. And he's getting Jonah to the place because Jonah's rebellion and Jonah's heart and Jonah's selfishness, it's not about what God desires, it's about what Jonah desires. And any blessings that can come from God, Jonah's willing to take. But to truly understand the heart of God, Jonah doesn't have a clue. He's referencing, he's saying, this is something that you didn't labor for. This is something that you didn't plant. This is something that you did nothing for. And then he reveals to us in verse number 11, "And should not I spare Nineveh? The human race, I breathe into it the breath of life." You recall in Genesis, the entire creation, God makes the stars and the sun and the moon and the water and earth and the trees and the grass and everything he creates. But what is it that God wants to spend eternity with? Well, he bends down and he forms man out of the dust of the ground. He breathes into man's nostrils the breath of life. He labored. He created mankind. God's desire is that mankind live forever with him. He's wanting this rebellious prophet to see that life is not about what you want and about your desires. Life is about what I desire, and that is for all of mankind to repent and spend eternity with God. That's what God's after. That's what he desires. But you know what's interesting? God in this book is willing to work with Jonah as an individual, and at the same time, he's also willing to work and want out of the people of Nineveh. Now, something that's very interesting I also find in this last verse is all through Nineveh, we referred to Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, this great city, the city of Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. It was this place. It's like saying Toledo. And it's just this, when we say that, it's just, it just consumes everybody. But then God says something and reveals something in this last part of this chapter that shows it's an individual thing. He cares about individuals. He then identifies 60,000 persons or 120,000 people. You know what he's saying? It's not just a city. It's individual. It's the people that I care about. It's the souls of mankind. And God is working to redeem those 120,000 people. And at the same time, he's looking to get Jonah to the place where he becomes right with God. And that's why I make this statement. God is using Nineveh to get a hold of Jonah. Why did God use a selfish, prideful, arrogant, prophet to go preach such an important message. Because the message was for Jonah as well. He's using this Nineveh to work in the heart of Jonah as much as he's using Jonah to work in the heart of Nineveh. And I want you to see the care that God puts into this. Now let's go back to verse number 6. And the Lord God prepared, what's he prepared this first time? A gourd. Why did God prepare a gourd for him? Why? To be a shadow, but deeper than that, why did God prepare a gourd? Because he's trying to get Jonah to get right with God. He's trying to get Jonah to the place where Jonah rejoices in God's mercy, in God's kindness. All the things that he's upset about in verse number 2 that God is showing to someone else. You know what God is showing to Jonah? I'm doing the same for you. You're in a place where you're exhausted. The heat is going to wipe you out. He, in a day, this didn't take hours or days or weeks. This isn't something that was already there that he found. He did something special just for Jonah. He prepared a gourd specifically for Jonah. Why? So that Jonah would experience the goodness of God. So maybe through the goodness of God, he would repent. As Jonah was preaching what God did, when God was revealing to Nineveh what he was going to do, was it Jonah wasn't saying, turn to God to receive his blessing. What Jonah was preaching is, get right with God so you don't see his destruction. And it took the one message for all of Nineveh, the Bible says, the king and everyone to repent and put sackcloth and ashes on. And I got the message and I want to get right with God. But God is trying to get a hold of Jonah and he starts with blessings. He's upset because God is going to be merciful. He's upset because God is going to be gracious. He's upset because God's going to be slow to anger. He's upset because of God's great kindness toward Nineveh. And so what does God do? He says, I want to prepare the same thing for you, Jonah. And let's look at Jonah's response. God does it to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad toward God. No. See what Jonah's issues were? Jonah was dealing with such anger. He was dealing with such displeasure because Jonah's priorities were never in the right place. And that's what God is working on in Jonah's life. Jonah, life is always about you. Life isn't about what you truly care, what God desires. It's about you. And I'm showing you this. I'm showing you, I'm giving you blessings to show you, to reveal to you. Life is about you. God didn't get any glory for building that gourd. He was very happy with God when all of his pleasures were taken care of and his needs were taken care of. So what does God do? He doesn't get Jonah's attention. So what does God do? The very next verse. But God prepared a worm. How cruel. Now, was God just doing this to give Jonah a hard time? No, he's doing this to get Jonah's attention. Jonah, you're rebellious. Jonah, you're angry. Jonah, you're selfish. I'm going to send a worm. And that worm, the next morning, rose up the next day and smote the gourd, and it withered. Jonah, God's getting you. He's going to get it with blessings. He's going to get it with turmoil. But God is going to do something in everything he can to get your attention. And very next verse, God prepares something else. What does he prepare the third time? A vehement east wind. And this time that sun beat down upon his head of Jonah that he fainted. He wished in himself to die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. You know what's so interesting? Jonah is at such a dark place in his life, and God is trying to work him out of this place. Jonah, just two chapters earlier, was in a belly of a great fish. He called it the belly of hell, and he didn't want to die. He said, Lord, save me out of the belly of hell. Deliver me. If you'll deliver me, I'll serve you. Now Jonah finds himself not even in that same situation. He's ready to die. Three different things God prepares to get Jonah's attention. Some of them are pleasant, and some of them are not so pleasant. And I want you to write this third thing down about God. God uses what is necessary to get your attention. God will always use what is necessary to get your attention. Don't miss this. God will always use what is necessary to get your attention. Sometimes it'll be a gourd. Sometimes it'll be a worm. Sometimes it'll be a vehement wind. Sometimes it'll be a call to deal with a difficult place. But all through the book of Jonah, what was God doing? We can see it. Yeah, he's dealing with Nineveh. But Jonah had it right. You were going to save Nineveh anyways. God was dealing with Jonah. God was saying, I'm going to put you, Jonah, in a place where you don't want to go so that you humble yourself and allow me to be God in your life. Jonah, I'm going to not let you die in the ocean because I'm a long-suffering God. I'm going to spit you back out on dry ground. And oh, Jonah, you're going to run, but you know what continues to build back up and stir back up in Jonah's life? Anger. Rebellion. You know what Jonah is saying to God at every turn? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to move me from my country? Who do you think you are to use me to preach to Nineveh? Who do you think you are to be merciful and kind to someone else? Who do you think you are to build a gourd and then kill the gourd the next day? Who do you think you are? And you know what God's showing? I'm God. And God is allowed to do anything he wants to do, and God will do anything that's necessary to get you to the place where he wants you to be. God is using many things all throughout this book of Jonah to get Jonah to the place where Jonah realizes, yeah, Nineveh, you're a wicked place, but so am I. And what revealed that, and what God was trying to get Jonah to get to the place through his rebellion and through his anger and through his displeasure and through his selfishness is this: Jonah, I want you to see it through my eyes. It's about the souls of mankind. It's about eternity. It's not, Jonah, about you living on this earth and never having to leave your country and never having to do something you don't want to do or never having to endure something you don't want to endure. You are going to go through whatever is necessary so that God can use you to bring the message of salvation to mankind. You know, let me break it down to this. God is going to use every single one of us in our lives to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And where we have to be very careful is we don't begin to want to accomplish what we want to accomplish because of our rebellion or our selfishness or our pride. And so what God will do is he will make you, put you, prepare things for you to get you to the place like he does to Jonah in chapter number 10. Thou had pity on a gourd? A gourd that you didn't labor for? A gourd that you didn't water? A grow that you didn't make grow? A gourd that was here one night and gone the next? Yet you don't understand that there's 120,000 souls in Nineveh? that are more important than that gourd? That are more important than the luxuries of your life or the ease that you want to live or the life you want to choose? There's 120,000 people that if they don't repent, that gourd is going to be gone in a day. If those people don't repent, they won't spend eternity with God. And then there's no hope. It's caused me to see, as I study this passage of Scripture, it causes me to evaluate my heart. Is what I'm doing so that others can hear the gospel message? Or is life about my gourd and where God wants me to go and what God wants me to do and what God wants me to endure and all of these things that God is doing in Jonah's life to get Jonah to the place where he just simply says, okay, God, it's about you. For so many years, one of the things about Jonah, I like the book of Jonah because it's four chapters. You can read it quick in one story. I mean, just one sitting, you read it. You know, some of the longer books, it's a little more difficult, Tom, to sit down and read through the entire book of Genesis, right? Now you can read through this book and you get it from start to finish. And always when you read it, it's always about Nineveh. A great fish in Nineveh. It's about God doing everything he needs to do that's necessary to get the attention of Jonah and get the attention of Nineveh. Nineveh is such a wicked city. But in 3 days, with one message, Nineveh repented. But through ship, tossed off a ship and swallowed by a whale and hearing the message, them being saved, a gourd being grown, a worm being placed in the gourd, a great wind coming, passing out, all of that. Jonah just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. God says to Jonah, that gourd that made you so happy, yet 120,000 people have repented and you find no joy. You know what the root of Jonah's problem was? Joy didn't come from what God wanted out of Jonah's life. Jonah only found joy when Jonah got what Jonah wanted in Jonah's life. And that's sad when you see that on Jonah. Jonah couldn't even rejoice when God was being merciful and kind and gracious to Nineveh. He got upset. You're going to bless them. And as we close this book and we close this chapter, as I studied this and prepared this, I just thought to myself, what is God doing that is necessary in my life? And what is God that's doing that's necessary in your life? That if you're not careful, you say, yep, he's going to deal with Nineveh. When God is trying to deal with you, and he's going to use Nineveh to do it. And we just want to get Nineveh out of the way. Nineveh is a waste of time. Nineveh has no point. You're going to just bless them anyways, Lord. So what's the point? Because he's looking to get your heart. And he can use one situation and deal with two different groups of people. He's going to do whatever is necessary to get our attention, and he deals with individuals. He deals with individuals in such a way that he is so concerned about the details in our life so that we'll turn to him. You see, as I close this study, Jonah, it's called Jonah The main character is Jonah. There's a great fish that swallows Jonah. There's a great city that he's supposed to go preach. But when that all ends in chapter 4, verse number 11, all that God wants Jonah to see is it's about 120,000 souls that I want you to care about. And I just want to remind us, church, you know what God is concerned with? Yeah, he'll give you a gourd. He'll take care of you. He'll bless you. He'll be merciful. He'll be kind. But in the end, you know what God is truly, what God's heartbeat is? The souls of mankind. That's what God's after. He's trying to get Jonah to the place where he says, how much do you love what I love? And I love man. Why? Because man is what God created to spend eternity with him fellowshipping. And unless man repents, they'll spend eternity absent from God. In a place the Bible calls the place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so I wonder if there's a Nineveh that God has you at, and you're looking at the Nineveh, or you're looking at the place, or you're looking at the event, and you're not realizing, yeah, God put you there to get rid of the rebellion, to get rid of the selfishness, to get rid of the pride, so that you could see God's eye through God's eyes. Because once those things are removed, you see what God sees. You know, once the repentance came in Nineveh, they saw what God saw before they were enjoying their sin. Now Jonah's preaching and they're looking at their sin and they're saying, this is awful. Let's get rid of this. The king puts on sackcloth and ashes and fast, and we're going to repent. We're getting right with God. These things have been revealed to us. Get rid of these things. He's doing the same thing with Jonah. Jonah, get rid of these things. Get rid of the rebellion, the pride, the selfishness. Why? So you could see what God's after. Because those things cloud us into a place where we don't see what God's after. We see what we're after. See, how does that reveal? What angers you? What displeases you? What causes you frustration? When you get your eyes off of what God is doing, and you look at your own comforts and how it makes you feel, you lose the whole focus of what God's after. I was, the last couple days, I've been dealing with a lot of stuff. I told you Sunday that we were looking at some things that involved our school, and this, so I contacted the governor's office and said, hey, you know, this is what we're dealing with. And the statement I got back from the governor's office was, last night was pretty much, hey, you know, thanks, but we're not going to be able to help you. The governor's not going to get involved in anything that's going on in the counties. He's, the word for word is, he's letting the counties deal with these things. He's empowered them to deal with these issues. And so I said, all right, that's fine. And I emailed the governor and said, that's fine. If my concerns are going to fall on deaf ears, I have no alternative than to take this case to the public. And boy, I stirred a hornet's nest, and Anita will tell you, my phone was all ringing all day, and calls, and hey, the governor wants to have a phone call with you and wants to speak directly to you, and he's mad at you, and you know, how dare you defy the government, the governor, and go to the news media and put this video out. And it was insane. And I had a couple pastor friends call me, and one of them was a chairman of the advisory council I'm on, and the governor's office called him and wanted him to call me and straighten me out. And I was so consumed with this so consumed, and I mean, making phone calls, returning phone calls, it busied things to the place. And I talked to a pastor, matter of fact, just a couple hours ago, called me, a pastor from over in Cleveland. He called me and said, "Hey, I heard you made the governor mad." And we were talking through it. And I said, you know what my concern through all of this? His name is Pete. I said, you know what my concern with all of this, Pete? If I'm not careful, we can get so consumed in things that we take our focus off souls of mankind. If we're not careful, we can get so consumed in good things, that our focus can get off the main thing. And I'm not saying that there's not certain things that you have to fight for. But I think all of us have to be careful that we don't let things get to the place that consume us, that we lose focus, that there's 120,000 souls in Nineveh that God wants to spend eternity with. Now, I was reminded there's probably a couple hundred thousand. Anybody know how many in the greater Toledo area there are? How many people? Anybody know? Anybody have a guess? 250,000 maybe? That sound right? Up? 300,000? About 500,000 people in the greater Toledo area? Wow. And it even makes it worse. Thanks. There's 500,000 people in the greater Toledo area, and that's what's on the heart of God. And you know what God's desire is? Those 500,000 people to spend eternity with him. And we as Christians can get involved in good things. I mean, we can get involved in good things. We can get involved in raising good families. We can get involved in great marriages. We can get involved in great service. We can get involved in really good things. But if any of those things take us away from seeing the heartbeat of God, those aren't good things. And so Jonah goes on this pathway. God allows Jonah to go on this pathway. What a crazy path that is. All for one reason. Jonah, get rid of the pride. Get rid of the selfishness. Get rid of the anger. Because there's people that are dying in their sins. And when they die, there's no more hope. 500,000 people. That is more than I thought. 500,000 people. And probably a large percentage of them, a great percentage of them, need to know Jesus Christ. And God has you in all different places in your life and is doing all these different things in your life. And is maybe it's conflict, and maybe it's a gourd, and maybe it's a worm, and maybe it's a vehement wind, and maybe it's a Nineveh. It has you all in these places, Tom, to do all these things. You know what the conclusion is? That you see what he sees. Nineveh was not just a city of a 3 days journey. Nineveh was a city of 120,000 people that were going to die in their sins without Christ, without repentance. You're so worried about a gourd. And there's 120,000 people dying without me. Father, help us, I pray, as we see Jonah, we see a picture of you and your heart and your mind and your character. We see a picture of what you're doing